Hello, everybody. This is Derek Arden, and welcome to the chat show. We're continuing our theme of psychology, and particularly psychology in business today. And one of the most important things is how you manage yourself, how you manage your state, how you help manage the people around you, because you can clearly change their states. I'm delighted to welcome my friend Gabrielle Gachet again, who taught me lots and lots and lots about psychology. So welcome, Gabby. Thanks for joining us yet again with some of your words of wisdom. And the first thing to talk about is state, because state, mood, how you feel, how you come across to other people is really, really important on the results that you get with yourself, but also managing other people. So give us your take on state, please.
So there are many ways of explaining state, but I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And if you think about the Seven Dwarfs, they're all different states: grumpy, happy, sad, etc. Which then got me thinking about the author Hargreaves, who wrote about the Mr. Men, and he had Mr. Messy and Mr. Nice and Mr. Bolshy and the Little Misses as well. And the way that I think about state is that they are, there's millions of them. And Gurdjieff and Ospinsky talk about, in the fourth way, they talk about the multiple eyes. And we all have, even though I is just one letter in the alphabet, I see you, I see the people on my screen, and I see human beings as multifaceted diamonds. And you have many, many facets of who you are. The thing is, the majority of us are relatively lazy, and we will only use certain facets at any given time. So we will have, over time, we will become quite lazy, well, we'll become quite stuck in the state that we tend to use. So I was working with someone recently, and he said, I just do judgmental and pragmatism. I said, well, don't you ever get excited? And he went, I can't think of the last time I got excited. And I started talking to him about his game, which is hockey. And I said, so, you know, who are your favourite teams? And he mentioned Reading. And he said, but when Reading are playing, and his whole manner changed. And I said, oh, that's not judgmental or pragmatic. And he said, well, it is in my head. So I said, well, I would challenge that, because your whole body language has changed, and state is very often labelled. But what's important is to look at how state physically changes how you are. And if the state that you're in helps you to do whatever it is that you're looking to do, then great. So my presenter state, I label it as presenter. But actually what I bring in is relaxed, energetic, calm, passion. So all of those parts, all of those facets of who I am are labelled under presenter. So when you think about states, what are the states that are useful to you? And Derek and I have a difference of opinion around this. He talks about positive states. But I think sadness can be a positive state if it is an appropriate state for the mood that you're in. So every state I see as being very, very positive, because every emotion has a positive intention behind it. Generally, the positive intention will be to fill you with joy, to protect you. Even fear is there to protect you, to ensure that you are in a safe space. So I see every single state as a positive intention, but how is it interpreted? And a lot of my work is working with people that have these negative states, and we unpack what's behind that and what actually is a positive intention, so that they can feel better about what's going on. So in presenting, for example, oh, I feel nervous. I feel, I can't move. Well, why is that? It's because you care. It's because you care about the subject. It's because you want to get your message across. people doing exams at the moment. I've just been talking to my niece who's doing her final exam today. She's like, oh, auntie. And I said, so how are you feeling? She said, I'm drained. And I said, okay, you've got one push. What are the states that are going to be useful? Breathing allows you to relax. Giving yourself good intention, giving yourself good messages, internal dialogue, so that you know that you can do it. And we talked, and I did a few embedded suggestions for her, and she went in. And when you're watching this on YouTube, I've no idea what the weather is like, but today is the hottest day that we've had ever in history. And she's wearing a mask because we're also in times of COVID, which is a new phenomenon. So she's really having to work on her states. What are the states that you can be working on? And think about it before you actually go into an interaction. What are the eyes? What are the parts of you that are going to be useful to bring?
That's really useful, Gabby. How do we recognize our states? Because I suspect you taught me how to recognize my states and become aware of them. But generally, they're unconscious, aren't they?
Are they? So very often they can be, you know, as you sit there, stand there watching, you will, if you ask yourself the question, recognize it. Where most people recognize their state is when they're frustrated, when they're not getting what they want to get. So in negotiation, you know, if you're not getting the results that you would normally get or that you would hope to get, there can be an angst. And as soon as you're moving in a downward spiral of being the best you can be, it's always worth asking yourself what's going on. Equally, when things are going really well, it's important to say, fantastic, what is going on at the moment? What states am I using at the moment? What facets of me have I brought to make this deal with regards to, you know, negotiation, but what's worked to make this relationship work, to make the sale come through, to be creative, what states are going on for me? So it's just catching yourself and asking yourself the questions in those moments where things are working really well, but also when things are working not so well.
And of course, psychologists working with high performance sports people doing this all the time. In fact, I was talking to a coach at a football team, Premier Football Club, this week, who I might be doing some work with, hopefully. And he said that club had five psychologists who said, I don't know what they do all day. He was a bit anti the psychologists. But of course, they control their state. They help them manage their state and help them get into the right state. So I think it's a fantastic thing to do is just to think tomorrow, what state am I in, why am I in it, and what can I do to change it. Now my presenter state is very different to Gabby's. Whilst I need to go through my routines, make sure everything's prepared, check it again and check it again, I then need to go outside, and then when I hit the button to go, you'll probably notice that I really look down the camera and go for it. And I do that when I'm on stage as well. And in fact, I'm a little bit getting rid of all my energy myself, but that's what works for me. That's the state. And I slow down a bit afterwards. Is it good? Is it bad? Doesn't matter. Does it because it works for me and I get good results. So that's okay. Different people have different things. We're all different to other people. And I'm not sure if we finished with everything you had there to say on states. We haven't. I was going to ask you about the conscious and unconscious mind, but they're all linked as well, and how to change your own state.
So I'm an executive coach, and one of the things that I do in my coaching is I help people to catch their states. So having a coach can help massively. But equally, it's being aware of what alters your state. So today it's hot, so a lot of people, you know, when I walk around, everyone is kind of walking around like this, and your body language sends messages to your brain. So it is a two-way system that is going on. So what you eat or what you don't eat will make a difference. Have you ever come across anyone that gets hungry and angry? You know, when they haven't eaten, they start to get a bit angsty, and it's because they haven't eaten. And simply by eating, they can calm down. Equally, if you've ever come across kids that eat sugar and get a spike, yeah, they can be, my perspective, an absolute nightmare to look after because they're screaming and shouting and they've got all this energy. So what you eat will affect how you feel, which will affect your state. What you drink, the exercise that you take, your fitness, your basic health, whether you've slept or not. Also, what's going on externally. So external triggers can make a difference. And you know, have you ever been walking along and you suddenly smell something and you're immediately taken back to the school or the lover or the whatever it might be for you? So external triggers, anchors, can also immediately change your state, and smell is one of the quickest to be able to do that. Other triggers might be music, visuals. So the news, I mean, at the moment, we've had a lot of news around COVID-19 and the violence that's going on. And one of the things that I talk to people about is there's this go out and exercise on a regular basis and be disciplined with what you eat and what you do with your body, but also be disciplined with what images you let into your mind. Be disciplined with what you read, because watching the news 24/7 is a surefired way to make you feel like there's no point. And there's lots of point because there's a lot of good stuff going out there. So it's feed yourself with things that make you feel good. And it's a discipline and it's a practice.
Brilliant. There's a couple of things I want to follow up on there or just mention. I didn't know that it takes about 20 minutes for the drug coffee to get into your system and wake you up in the morning till about a year ago. Gee whiz, where have I been? And the same with water. It takes about 20 minutes for water to get into your system to hydrate you, to make you feel better. And we're talking about states now. I read that coffee and alcohol would be banned drugs if they hadn't have been discovered before drugs were banned. Before, when we were having the Chinese opium wars and all sorts of things like that.
As would sugar. Sugar is highly, highly, highly addictive. But what is really interesting is whilst it takes 20 minutes for that caffeine kick, because it is part of many people's routines, I saw it in my son when he came over for Father's Day the other day. As soon as he has his first cup of coffee, his first sip of coffee, he perked up. Because you get the placebo effect. So just the drinking of the coffee or the smelling of the coffee, it becomes the trigger before the physical then starts to kick in. So it's really interesting. You know, it's not binary, it's really, really complicated. But I love how something can give you a boost. And you generate the physical change rather than what you've got there. So, you know, when I was learning about hypnosis, and anyone that's watched any stage hypnosis, you know, this is fizzy water, I promise you. But, you know, if I was hypnotized to believe that it was 100% gin or 40% gin, and I downed it, I could, if I was in that state, actually act as I was completely drunk, even though physically I could take a breath test and I'd be fine. So your ability, your mind's ability to create different states is just enormous.
And while we're on hypnosis, that's what the stage hypnotists do, don't they? They create the state. And just very quickly, like, because I was fascinated by this when I first learned about it. So someone like Paul McKenna, if he's doing that, he'll have 500 people who'll come to the show, and he will be watching people. They have loud hypnotic music playing and flashing lights, which is all part of the hypnosis process. And then he'll ask people to come up on stage, and then he'll pick the most suggestible people, won't he, Gabby? And that's the real skill, picking the 10, if you like, clowns who will do what he says and believe it's gin rather than cynics, probably, like us, who wouldn't.
Exactly. So it's not just that he's looking at the audience. He invites the audience up. So the thing about hypnosis, and one of the myths about hypnosis, is you can't be made to do anything that you disagree with, that is not in your moral compass. And Derren Brown's been really, really clever at pushing those boundaries and testing those boundaries. And it is absolutely the case. So what Paul McKenna does is, and I used to be one of the minders, because he would keep them in the state and keep them hypnotized in the break, is he would invite people up to the stage, and he would then do a number of tests to see who were the most suggestible and clearly wanted to be center stage, eating into onions, thinking that it was an apple, or you know, becoming an old geriatric war hero when he was, they looked 12 to me, but when they were, you know, in their 20s or 30s. So they've got to want it, and with state, you've got to want to be passionate, to be happy, to be joyous, to be whatever it is you want to be.
It's very interesting, but then we can use hypnosis ourselves. So it's very easy to self-hypnotize ourselves. And Mark spotted a couple of weeks ago, you used some trance words on us. So that was a smart word.
Never.
But I don't know if everybody else spotted that. I gently spotted it. I thought you were going to do it a little bit more deeper and use a few embedded commands. Is now a good time to demonstrate that, Gabby? Or do you want to do that at the end?
So, well, if I talk through it, the thing about hypnosis is, many people go to be hypnotized and they believe that they haven't been hypnotized because they didn't pass out. And I've never really done much eyes closed hypnosis. I tend to do covert hypnosis. So in my coaching, it's just suggesting that as you sit there listening and feel more relaxed with the words that I'm saying, you may begin to recognize how you too are able to get amazing states incredibly quickly. So what I've done there is I've just given you a suggestion, but it's, did anyone hear the click? I did the click. So it's amazing states easily. It can be a sound, but equally it can be just a change in the voice. I'm doing it with a click to make it obvious in this scenario. But we are all being hypnotized on a regular basis. You know, do not believe for one moment that the people on the radio, that the people on the news don't know about some of this stuff, some more than others. And Paul McKenna is a classic example. He used to be a...
DJ.
McKenna, yeah, a radio DJ. And so when you listen to him on the radio, the suggestions he's putting in are fantastic because he's doing it responsibly. Chris Evans is another one. He's constantly putting in great suggestions currently and well worth listening to. And he will pick anyone up that starts giving themselves negative suggestions. And the thing is, it's happening all the time. You go to the supermarket, and if you remember, one of the triggers can be smell. Have you ever been into a supermarket and you can smell either the coffee or you can smell the bread? But the bread isn't at the entrance where you can smell it. It's at the furthest point of the shop. So be under no illusion, we are all being hypnotized on a regular basis. And it's the suggestions that we get from our parents, from our teachers, from the news, from our friends. And the more you can wake up to it, the more you can challenge. Actually, do I really want that to be my belief? We've got a big Black Lives Matter going on at the moment. And it's really interesting talking to a number of my friends who are of various different cultures and colours. And they said, yeah, but it's what our parents believed and it's what their parents believed. And it comes down through the generations. I'm an absolute believer that you, as an individual, can be whoever you want to be. And yes, where we're born does have an effect on us. And still, you are able to create the person that you wish to be. You are the author of your future, very much so. But it's telling yourself on a regular basis.
Now, the language you use is really important to this, like we've talked on this series. Because if you tell yourself negative thoughts, if you give yourself negative embedded commands, which is the word, if you say everything's going wrong, then guess what happens? That's what happens, because you're using the words and you're programming your brain hypnotically, really. So we're using the word hypnosis in a different way, but it's on your subconscious. So what some people do, and some of the coaching would be, if you want something, then stick post-its all around your house of what you want, or cut out that Ferrari every time you see it in what car, and stick pictures of it all around your house, because you're then subliminally programming your computer for what you want. But if you program your computer for what you don't want, like, I don't want to catch a cold, guess what happens? Somehow, and it works, you let your immune system down and you catch a cold, because you're saying, I want to catch a cold, because the words aren't computed in the brain until you have computed the words you want. And the best way of looking at that is, under no circumstances whatsoever do I want you to think of a blue elephant. And you have to think of a blue elephant before you can't think of a blue elephant. So I guess that's hypnosis of some description, Gabby, is it? I've never thought of it that way.
So it's embedded commands. The brain does not understand the word not. We are electromagnetic beings, and anyone that understands electrics is binary. It's either zero or one. You're on or you're off. So the brain doesn't understand not. In order to not think of a blue elephant, you have to think of a blue elephant and then rub it out of your memory. So, and the brain works so, so quickly. And you see it with teachers and with parents. You know, don't run, you'll fall. You'll fall. Don't run, you'll fall. And then the child falls. And they go, you see? I told you were going to fall. But what they don't see is that, yes, they made them fall almost by embedding that suggestion to fall. And it makes me giggle. I must admit, when I had my children and they were really young, I didn't know about this stuff, and I was as guilty as the next person. And once you start to know about it, and any of you that have seen some of Derek's YouTubes, I have on many occasions, when he says, don't forget, I say, remember. And that's where it comes from. You know, don't forget is actually sending a message to yourself to forget. So we've got to be cleaner with our language in embedding the suggestions, and it takes consciousness, because we are so used to speaking the lingo that we have been brought up with. It's a minefield.
So I used to say I had a bad memory. And then I went on my first NLP program and I realized that saying you had a bad memory was programming your brain to have a bad memory and not making energy, putting any energy into remembering things. And I've got a fantastic memory, actually. And I guess I always had a fantastic memory, except I wasn't using most of it. And now when I say to people, because lots of people say, oh, I'm getting old, I've got a bad memory. And I go, no, you're not. You're just programming your brain. And in fact, the research now says that you create new neurons all the time, as long as you keep active, do things like what we're doing, learning, keep fit and doing all those things. It's the people that don't. However, I have to say, I'm a serial note taker for the simple reason that helps my fantastic memory. Because when you go over it again or look in your book, and I've shown you my books, haven't I? I got through one 100-page book in 3 months, which is a record over the last 3 months running these programs. You've got to help your memory and you've got to remember. So this morning when I went to write my book up, I couldn't remember what I did yesterday. So I had to remind myself and then write it down. And I went, oh, wow. So that memory thing, but people don't get it. I do try and coach people. If I meet someone, you know, say I've got bad memory, I do. But you have to get them into the right state before they receive it. And that's difficult, Gabby, isn't it? And I'm not very good. Well, I said I'm not very good at that. That's the wrong thing to say. I'm getting better at it all the time. Okay, brilliant.
Well done.
What you want to add? There's a few questions in the chat box coming in, which is good, which is great. You know, Mark spotted you hypnotizing us over Zoom. I'm in a trance at the moment, but Rosie would like to know what trance words are.
What trance words are? So the use of you rather than I is one of the easiest ways of getting people into trance. So one of the things that I often coach is to own your own stuff. Because if I were to just have a conversation with you, Derek, and say, do you know what? You know what it's like when you feel really happy because you're about to go on holiday. I'm about to go on holiday and I'm going tomorrow and I'm so excited. I've used you and I've used I. So you know what it's like when you're going on holiday. Because I am going on holiday. But very often I hear people say, and you know how bad it is out there. You know that it's really, the violence is awful. And in order to make sense of that, is you've got to go there. Whereas if I were to say, I've been watching the news recently and I'm really saddened by what I'm seeing with the violence, I'm owning it. And you can interpret it however you want to interpret it. But as soon as I say, you know how much violence there is out there, you've actually got to go there, which can then leave you in a worse place than you were feeling before. So one of the things that I would always recommend is that you leave people in a better place. Always leave people in a better place. So ask them about things that make them feel better. And get them into, this is almost bringing us back to the beginning, get them into a state that is one that you feel comfortable leaving them in.
Absolutely. One of my mentors, and you know I've got loads of mentors and I can't believe people haven't got mentors. And you know I use that word loosely anyway. But said, you know, go out and ruin someone's miserable day. You know, you have to think that through in your conscious mind. What do you mean by that? You know, go and make someone happy. No, just go out and make. And the other thing was, they said to me, put a bubble, pretend you've got some of that bubble wrap and put that round you when someone wants to start moaning and groaning and actually give you, transfer their negative state to you, because these states are like viruses. So if we're consciously aware of it, so let me tell my football team, you know, everyone moans about Arsenal except one person at the moment. And you know, I don't want to go to Arsenal and feel depressed. I want to see a good game, watch the skill and everything else. And they're playing in about 2 minutes time, actually, against Southampton. I'm not confident about that anyway. But so you get bombarded by it. So I imagine at that time I got a bubble wrap around me and the words are bouncing off of me. So it's not changing my state. And when we're in a leadership position, which we all are, and we're in different leadership positions at different times, it's very important to do that and to handle that. And I was reading the notes, actually. I was reading the notes from Mike Williams that Jill did on sent me today from Monday. And Mike said it's very important when you're in Dubai that you project Dubai as a fantastic place. And when you're in Abu Dhabi, you project that and you don't badmouth anybody and you project where you are. And that's selling. And that's kind of hypnosis of the state of the person you're talking to, I guess. Is it? You're the expert, Gabby, but that's how I see it in my business world as a leader.
I think for me, whenever there is the word you said to you, monitor what follows. And at that point, if it's something that is going to be helpful for you, let it in to the bubble. But if you're constantly just batting everything back, then that, I don't know how healthy that is. So there does need to be a flow, but it is a matter of just monitoring and being okay to say, actually, I'm not going to take that one. No, I'm not taking that one either. Yep, I like that. I'll bring that one in because you're in control of it. And going back to what you were saying about saying that you've got a good memory, it is, as I've just read that Tim said, it is about repetition. So one of the stories that I know I've mentioned to a couple of you is that when I was in my 20s, I had a husband who was probably about 5 years older, and he had a goal of what he wanted his income to be the next year. And so in January, we happened to do some goal planning. I do goal planning on a monthly basis, but it just happened to be the January one. And he wanted to earn £100,000. So he got a post-it. And he wrote, in fact, I don't think post-its even existed in those days. And he just got pieces of paper and he wrote 100,000. And there was one on the mirror in my bedroom, our bedroom. There was one in the mirror in the bathroom. There was one on the kitchen fridge door. And they were all over the place. It wasn't my goal. It was his goal. But I was seeing it on a regular basis. That year, this figure that was not my figure is what I earned. And it was only when I was assessing the situation and I thought, that's really weird, because I was on about 20, 30,000 at the time. So it was a colossal difference. And I just thought, that's bizarre, because that wasn't my goal. So what effect is the news having on you? What effect are the leadership messages having on you? What effect are the messages around you having on you?
That's great, Gabby. That's great. I'm going to add a few other things. And perhaps at the end, you'll give us that sales pitch with embedded commands just for a bit of fun. You know, the like me by now or whatever it is. I wanted to mention a couple of other things. Advertisers are using hypnosis all the time. And one of the reasons they use repetition is, even though we've seen it so many times before, it gets into our unconscious mind. I know one or two of you have kids who are in that sort of arena. I was listening, driving down to this little flat I've got in Swanage in the coast. And my old sports car has got a tape deck. Some of you don't even know what a tape deck is. And I was listening to a tape by a guy called Harvey McKay. Now, Harvey McKay sold 80 million books, Swim with the Sharks Without Getting Eaten, Beware of the Naked Man That Sells You His Shirt, and they're kind of embedded commands as well. Harvey McKay said, and I heard this and I played it back four times to myself, I never ever befriend negative people. Negative people, if they work for me, If they're my friends, I get rid of them. I cannot handle negativity. I don't want negativity in my life, and I don't want negative people. And he said it in the way I'm saying it, and I believed him. And I thought, I've got to take a recording of that tape, and I need to get this Otter app out and get some coaching from Jill on how to do it, and put that down before tape machines disappear. I can't sell this car because I won't find another car with a tape machine in it. And I got tons of them, tons of tapes. But anyway, sorry, I just wanted to mention.
Just on that note, Oprah Winfrey, when asked one of the secrets to her success, she said, basically, I stay away from drains and stick to radiators.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Are you a radiator or are you a drain? Are you someone that lights the room up when you walk in or lights the room up when you walk out?
Fabulous. Fabulous. I'm just having a quick look in the chat box. We've got some funny stuff in the chat box, so let's read it out. Civi Ballesteros talked about putting a bell jar that would only let good vibes in. Yeah, of course, golfers, the last thing golfers can do, we talked about negative embedded commands, don't miss that putt, look at that big bunker over there, and all that sort of games that that you can play. So yeah, absolutely vital in golf, but also vital in other sports. Mark says, how much did your husband earn that year? And Gabby said, I divorced him and got rid of him, turned him in for a new version. So
but I didn't take any of his money. That was my money, okay? Okay.
And Jill says there's gadgets available that convert tapes to digital. Yeah, I know. We'll talk about that later. Rosie says, I read a note-taking encourages active listening. How do you handle people in full negative flow? I think you don't listen. But Gabby, you can answer that better for Rosie, I think.
So it's something that you talk about in your negotiation skills is you break. So I'll say, oh, goodness, is that the time? I'm really sure I've got to go. Or fantastic, because that people don't know how to deal with that if they're in full negative flow. I don't like that because I find it very confrontational. So it is dependent on the situation. One of the phrases is, you know, I understand how you feel. I know a lot of people have felt like that. And what I found is, feel, felt, found, what I found is, and just send them off in a more positive direction. And in sales and negotiation and just management generally, that can be very, very useful. The feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. I've got a number of your colleagues have felt the same way. Clients have felt the same way. I've felt the same way. But what I found is, or what we found is, and then send them in a more positive direction.
Yeah, that's a sales technique, isn't it? What you were talking about there is pattern interrupt, and you reminded me there. So, Rosie, you need to either pattern interrupt that person with the negativity by doing something extraordinary or different, or frankly, you need to walk away. When I have just walked away from people in that situation. Another mentor of mine, a guy called Brian Tracy. I say mentor because I listened to his tapes over and over again. Said, and I started doing it in Barclays, and it worked. Just say fantastic. So people say, oh, really, really, the boss is absolutely unreasonable today. Oh, that's fantastic. Let's see how we can move it on. Now, that was a serious pattern interrupt, and people used to think, oh, Derek's gone mad. But after a while, they got used to it. How are you today? Fantastic. And as Peter Thompson says, he says, fantastic. Thank you for asking. So he's putting the you with the emphasis. And that's a hypnotic suggestion as well, isn't it, Gabby, from what you were saying there?
Thank you you're getting the thanks, so they can take in the thanks. Yep.
So that's what we've got in the box. One last thing before we close. Gabby, please. Oh, I know what it was. You were going to give us the sales hypnotic induction, which is It's obvious when you know about it.
So, you know, thank you for your time. Like me, I'm sure you have enjoyed listening to Derek, and by now you'll have a real sense of how he is. And he's written many, many books, and like me, you may well have already bought some. And I could keep going round and round the buys and the likes.
You're making me fall about laughing. Some of the people don't know why I'm laughing. Go on, unpack that for a second.
So I think most people on this call have probably get it, but like me is an embedded command to like me. Now, if you want to build a relationship, it's a lot easier to build a relationship with people that you like, because people generally like people that they like. And if you're saying like me, then it's a kind of embedded, suggestion to like me. This is the sort of thing that, again, is happening on a regular basis. It can be very crass, so I tend not to use it. However, it works, you know. And if you ever get to speak to the hypnosis, Paul McKenna and Michael Breen, they went onto one of the shows that you sell things and people buy, one of the buying channels, and they thought, this can't work, this stuff can't work. And they tested it out. They actually used all of the embedded suggestions. You know, like us, you'll have the phone there, and many times you won't have rung the phone, picked up the phone. And if you pick up the phone now, you'll get this discount and you'll get this discount. And the phones started ringing and they started selling things that the buying channel had not been able to sell before. So it works, you know, it really does work at a very unconscious level. So I think it's very important with this that you are accountable and responsible with it, which is why I'm keeping it at an absolute minimum, because hypnosis does require complete accountability and responsibility. So, you know, we're having a bit of fun with just some few words so that you can listen out to them when it's happening to you. But if you really are interested, then it's a case of, it's not something to be doing necessarily on an open forum. It's something to go and understand and learn and experience for yourself.
That's great, Gabby. And the two words you also used that people may have not spotted, we'll talk about when I turn the recording off, because I can see you're absolutely right. It can be highly manipulative. It is highly manipulative in the wrong hands. If people are doing it for the right reasons to change people's state, but if people are doing it for the wrong reasons, the people that are highly suggestive and not like us, or the people watching this, but are a huge amount of people who are highly suggestive, that perhaps are taking drugs and been easily conned, lost their whole life because they thought there was a gold mine, then it's very dangerous. But we need to know about it. Everyone should need to know about it and use it. Thanks for joining. This has been a fantastic session. Lots of learning points today, and we'll continue the series on psychology in business and in life. Thanks for joining me. I'm Derek Arden. And our guests, and Gabrielle Gachet today, our expert on NLP. Thanks very much indeed.